In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel offers us many things to consider. And traditionally, I would tell you about the seven loaves representing the seven sacraments, our Lord's apostles representing the bishops and the priests of the church, and that we receive the sacraments from their hands. And there is a lot of symbolical meaning to this. And you've heard this probably many times before. So this morning I thought we might consider the providence of God. Now consider that Christ had this crowd following him for 3 days. No one in the crowd seems to be concerned about what they're going to eat, that they're fast consuming all that they brought with them, that there's nothing going to be left. Where are they going to get something to eat? None of them seem to be concerned about it. But Christ, we can be certain, has already planned out what is going to happen. And he does not provide them with food along the way. There are no rest stops or vending machines along the way. He doesn't plan out his trip so that they have convenient cities to go and get something to eat from. Christ takes them step by step out into the desert to a point where they are reduced to absolute want, absolute necessity. They're at dire straits. What are we going to do? Now the apostles had already seen our Lord multiply loaves of bread and fishes. And our Lord performs this miracle once again. And I think a lesson that we need to focus upon is that God's providence is always there watching over us. It just so happens that His providence doesn't answer in the time that we want it. When we ask God for something, we are as spoiled little children and we want it now. And when God doesn't give it to us immediately, we become frustrated. When He doesn't give us exactly what we want, I'm sure all the people there in this desert would have liked to have filet mignon, probably some watermelon. It might have been pretty hot out there. But all they got were fish and bread, enough to sustain them. And God always gives us just enough so that we are left wanting something more. We are left in a state where we must call upon Him again. We are left in a state where we realize our dependence upon God. And this is not an evil thing, but it is a truly good thing that God does with us. And just recently, I happened to read a little story that I think the young ladies might be interested in. There was a princess, and her two daughters were invited to go to a wedding. And this was a long time ago, and they had to ride in a horse and carriage. And so they set out, they got all dressed up, wearing their best dresses, as most beautiful as they can possibly be, to present themselves at this wedding. There's the princess and her two daughters, and they're decked out with the finest jewels. And the youngest daughter insisted that she be allowed to wear this necklace of pearls. And her older sister said she wasn't old enough yet to be wearing pearls, but she insisted, and the mother agreed, okay, the little girl can wear the pearls, it'll be all right. And they prayed that their guardian angel and God would watch over them, because it was a long journey that they had to go on. And so the mother, the princess, and the two daughters set out on this journey. Of course, they had a driver there. And they're in this open carriage, enjoying the day. And the little girl the youngest one, because it's a boring trip, and it's like all little kids, they want to play around. She begins reaching out of the carriage, trying to touch the leaves and the branches as they're going by, looking at all the beautiful sights. And her sister keeps telling her, you know, you have to sit down, you're a princess, you have to behave like one. And they pass through the woods, and the tree limbs are hanging very close to the roadway. And the driver gets just too close to one of the branches, and one of the branches reaches out. The branch doesn't reach out, but the branch catches hold of this little girl's necklace of pearls. And these expensive pearls, the cord is broken and the pearls are scattered all over the road. And her big sister is furious with her, scolding her. I told you you were not old enough to wear these pearls. It's all your fault. We're going to be late for the wedding, because now the driver has to stop and we have to pick up these pearls. We have to search the road and find all these pearls. And you can imagine what the little girl felt like, can't you? She felt terrible. Now they're going to miss the wedding. They have to pick up all these pearls. Her mother is upset. Her big sister is upset. Nothing is going right. This day that started out so beautiful has ended so badly. But then as they're along the road where they are picking up the pearls, looking in the weeds and the briars everywhere, trying to find all these pearls, a woodcutter comes out of the woods, panting. He's out of breath. And he says, "Thank God that I found you, princess. For I was out cutting wood and I saw a band of robbers and overheard them talking. They had set up a trap for you. And just far ahead, just a few miles ahead, they were ready to stop your carriage and rob you. I overheard this and I came a roundabout way hoping that I could stop you before. And it is truly God's providence that I find you here stopped along the side of the road before you get caught by these robbers." And the princess realizes this was the work of God. That little girl did not do something wrong. It was God. It was her guardian angel that stopped them. And the princess and her two daughters gathered up the pearls and went back to their castle, pleased that God had intervened. He had saved them from being robbed and perhaps even killed. And the older sister was told by her mother that she must apologize to their little sister. For it was not her fault, for she was the instrument that God had used to save them. She had saved them. And this was the way that God works. And if we'll examine history, if we examine our lives, we're going to see it is very true. At that moment when we seem to understand that everything has gone wrong, everything is bad, nothing is right, at that very moment is when God has helped us. There is a reason for things to go wrong. He was saving us from something else, or He's preparing us for something greater. When our Lord took this mass of people out into the desert, to the point when they are no longer without sustenance, worldly speaking, we would have said, it's all over, we're dead now. We're going to die on the way home trying to get something to eat, something to drink. And at that moment, that is when our Lord says, I have compassion upon the crowd. I will perform a miracle to save them. So it happens in our lives. So many times people come to me and say, but why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't He help me? Can't He see how terrible a situation I am in? Can't He understand? And it's very difficult when we're suffering, when we're filled with self-pity, or when we can blame someone else, like our little sister. It's very easy to think that somehow God has forgotten us, to fall into despair, to feel this self-pity, and to think there's no hope, we might as well just give up. And that is the moment that we're being tested. That is the moment when we're going to be asked to believe, to trust in God, to actually believe that everything that happens, happens for the good of those who love God. Even if my great plans are frustrated, it is for my own good. If the wonderful time I have planned out for the day ends up in ruin, and this day that I thought was going to be so enjoyable for myself, or my family, my loved ones, turns out so miserable, so painful, it is at that moment that the grace of God is there to touch our souls. And at that moment, we must lift up our minds, our hearts, to God. Because that is the moment of grace. That is the moment when our eyes can be opened. Even if we can't understand the difficulties or why God has allowed it to happen, we can still, with our faith, say, I trust You, God. You know what is best. And even though things did not turn out the way that I wanted them to turn out, I trust that You have something better in store for me. Because I love You, and I know that You love me, what You have allowed to happen to me just now has to be for my own good. And I love You, and I thank You for it. Because You have either preserved me from falling into terrible sin, You've saved me from some terrible evil that was going to befall me. Somehow, You have protected me. And what I perceive to be an evil is actually my greatest good. It is the best thing that ever happened to me. And you truly have to have the eyes of faith to perceive this. That when you are struck ill, and you feel like the whole world is against you, or you're dying, that is the greatest thing, the most precious moment in your life. What you perceive to be the greatest evil is more than likely the greatest good. And if you persevere long enough, you will soon come to realize it. But you have to have that faith. You have to have that perseverance. You have to have that trust in God. Instead of falling apart and exploding, turning against God, becoming angry and frustrated, it is a time for us to reflect upon today's gospel, upon so many examples and throughout history and even in our own lives, to reflect upon these occasions when it seemed that everything was so bad, but it was actually for our own good. So many times our hearts are broken only so that God can fill them. We are frustrated, disappointed with the things of this earth only so that God can fill us with heavenly things. These occasions are all around us. We lose a job. We lose our health. We lose our loved ones. This life is filled with constant frustration, constant disappointments. But each and every one of them has been allowed by God for a specific reason, to help us, to draw us closer to Him. And if we fail to do that, we miss a most precious opportunity of grace. It's easy to love God when we're having fun, when we have a big banquet in front of us and everything is going just the way we want it to go. Which reminds me of a little saying that I once saw written on a wall. It said, if everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong lane. So if everything is going good, you better stop and reflect for a moment. Maybe I'm going the wrong way. But if you are faced with constant difficulty and everything seems to be against you and you're constantly struggling uphill, then you have been found to be a follower of Christ. And I dare say, you're in the right lane now. Because the path to heaven, as Christ Himself tells us, is a steep one. It is a narrow one. It is a rocky one. It is a difficult one. And unless you deny yourself and take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. But He also promises us that if we deny ourselves, if we take up this cross, if we accept all these burdens, all these difficulties, all these obstacles, He has promised, I will make them light, I will make them sweet, I will make them a joy for you. And this is something that is incomprehensible to our natural intelligence. It is only perceptible through the eyes of faith. When we can see in every adversity, every difficulty, every pain, every suffering, every necessity, the hand of God, there is a divine providence that has arranged everything to happen just like this, so that I can be in this exact situation at this precise moment. God has arranged it so. Why He would do this, I don't know. But I trust Him. And I believe in Him. And I know that if I will bravely take up this cross, it will be for my own good. And one day, perhaps one day in heaven, I will look back upon this occasion and be thankful that I have not wasted the opportunity to bear this cross out of love for God. Because this cross was that most precious moment that was to save my soul. Just as the little girl who broke the necklace of pearls and had to stop their journey, interrupt their journey to go back and find all these little pearls scattered in the roadway. It seems like a terrible misfortune. It seems like an evil burden, but it proved to be the one event that saved this princess and her two daughters. Perhaps even saved their very lives. The misfortune was their greatest good. These people who followed Christ into the desert, their misfortune was the greatest good. It was the opportunity for them to be fed miraculously by God, to receive tremendous graces, to be instructed in the beauty and the wonder of God's divine providence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.